British Columbia's youngest serial killer. He won't be sentenced until tomorrow, but most of the court proceedings are behind us. And for some people, the experience of being at the trial as a spectator will stay with them. Corey Hardiman is one of those people. She was the courtroom sketch artist during the trial, and she joins me on the line this morning. Corey, good morning.
Good morning, Russell.
So, take me inside that courtroom for a bit. For the days that you were there, what did it feel like? What was it like to be there during the trial?
Well, it was my first murder. I guess that sounds auspicious. So I was there for the beginning of the trial, for the opening testimony and the first witnesses. So it was mostly focused on poor Lauren Leslie for the first couple of days. For me as the artist, I was largely focused on just trying to get a decent angle on Cody Legibokov's face, because of course he was in the witness box, in the prisoner box, with his back to the gallery. It's easy to sort of compartmentalize when you have a job to do, I guess. So while I was in the courtroom, I was pretty focused on drawing. I wasn't really emotionally caught up in the trial itself. Although it's incredibly harrowing stuff, and certainly it came back to me as soon as I was out of the courtroom.
What do you recall about the moment that you were kind of taken out of the task of sketching the scene, but and started to experience what was actually being discussed in the courtroom?
Well, I think for me in the first part of the court proceedings. I had left the courtroom, and I was actually chatting with the RCMP officers that were involved with finding Lauren Leslie, and they were discussing sort of some of the traumatic effects of the experience on them, and I was able to sort of chat about it. And then as I was driving home that evening, I just started crying and really couldn't stop. I mean, I had about 2 days. I see I'll start again right now if I think about it too much. It's just, you know, I was in the courtroom with the families, you know, because it's really the only part of the room that you could see everything that was going on. And so I had Lauren Leslie's grandparents behind me. And at one point, when the court had recessed, her grandfather had stopped me and thanked me for what I was doing. And I at the time, I remember thinking, you know, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing that I'm doing. I didn't feel like I was really providing a service or anything that could possibly touch the kind of experience that they had. And I couldn't help but think, just to be the family of someone that had undergone that awful experience, it must have been just, I think it took a kind of emotional bravery that I'm not sure that I would have in the same circumstances.
You mentioned the experience with not just the family members, but a couple of the police officers as well, and their experience hit home. What did they say that stuck with you?
They were largely talking. I mean, these were young guys. I mean, I think that they were both younger than I am. And I think that when they were on the witness stand, each of them talking about having arrested Mr. Legibokov, the state of his truck, having to call the conservation officer, listening to his testimony and so on, you could see that they were visibly shaken. And I think that's what really, I mean, I'm a very visual person, and so I think when I see somebody who's visibly pale and shaking as a result of just hearing something that they've been through, it's an incredibly powerful thing to witness, and incredibly disturbing. I mean, really upsetting.
Yeah, because you forget sometimes that even for the people who investigate these horrific crimes and the people who are tasked with finding bodies and so forth, they're as much affected, or can be as affected as certainly the victims' family members as well.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, and I think, I mean, Mr. Hill, the conservation officer that found Lauren, he was, I mean, this is a man whose life has changed as a result of having discovered this girl's body. I don't think when you've seen something like that, it doesn't matter how well prepared you are, you can't unsee it. I mean, your basic humanity is engaged in that moment, and that's, you know, as a member of the gallery, I didn't have to see any of the things that, for example, the jury had to see, photographs, etc. But just the descriptions were so harrowing that, I mean, you can't get it out of your mind.
Corey, you wrote about your experience on your Facebook page, and it's been shared a few hundred times since you posted there. But one of the things you talk about is an experience as a mother.
Yeah.
And when you arrived at court one day and opened your sketchbook, tell me what happened there.
Yeah, my daughter had been drawing in my sketchbook, and I had welcomed her to do that. I often do, but I'd sort of forgotten that was my courtroom sketchbook. And so I had brought it in with me, and this was the last day of testimony. It was Cody Legebokoff on the stand in his own defense, I suppose you could say, although it was a shaky kind of definition of defense. But anyway, and I opened my sketchbook, and here was this drawing that my 9-year-old daughter had done in my sketchbook, and it was just this beautiful drawing, right? This blue sky and a pony in a field, and just really lovely. And I felt sorry, my other line is beeping for some reason. I felt in that moment, I really felt as though I had somehow accidentally brought my child into the courtroom. And at first, I really felt like, I mean, I wrote about this in that post. It's something I hadn't really talked about during the trial because I really didn't feel like it was my place to discuss it. It wasn't my family that was engaged. But just to have this piece of my daughter with me, I felt like I needed to protect her from the testimony that was going on there and from the things that had been done. And I guess in that moment, I kind of thought, well, it's appropriate. You know, it's appropriate to bring my child into a situation where we're talking about the lives and the deaths of other people's children. I mean, all of these women were younger than I was. I think because I was there mostly for the testimony concerning Lauren's discovery, et cetera, and because she was the youngest, somehow she's the one I always think of, but I think of all of them. There was a great deal of discussion about Natasha Montgomery, and these women were just young, and I think, oh, I hope my daughter never makes, you know, the kind of bad decisions that we all make and that somehow can lead to these terrible places. And it's just a terrible feeling of just wanting to step into the situation and protect these women belatedly, you know?
Corey, what else do you think will stay with you from the trial, or what sort of things will linger with you?
Well, I think that, I mean, really, overall, I think that the bravery of the families is what will stay with me. I think those of us who do what we can, the press, certainly the jury was remarkable. I mean, what they had to do, what they had to give up to be there. Anyone who's a witness to those things, I think it's certainly a burden, but it's an honor, it's a privilege. And those families, I think that kind of bravery, that's something that I'll always remember. But I think about, I won't ever forget those women. Mm. I mean, I really won't. I think about them all the time.
We'll see what happens in the sentencing over the next couple of days. Corey, thank you so much for joining us on Daybreak
this
morning.
Okay, thanks.
Take care.
Bye.